You're listening to the Get Out and Drive podcast with John Custom Car Nerd Meyer and Jason Old Car Guy Carr. We'll be bringing you gearheads everything you never wanted to know about cars and why they should be on the road and not in your garage. Are you ready to get out and drive? Get those cars on the road October 2nd, 2022 to celebrate National Get Out and Drive Day. Visit nationalgetoutanddriveday.com for more info.
Hey, John, remember when we were kids, they had that little device that you pulled a cord on, it landed on a fire mantle and made like a moo or a cluck?
Oh, the CNC.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool if they had something like that for cars?
Dude, I think they do.
No, seriously,
I got one right here.
That sounds like a Viper.
It is a Viper. You want to know what a Mustang sounds like?
And no screams.
No screams. You can't hear the crowd at all.
Where would you get a book like that?
This book that we have is called What Cars Say, written by Rachel Alfonso, presented by Exotic Car Hacks. You can go to our website, getoutanddrive.com, and pick up a copy of your own.
I'm going to head right over there right now.
I think that's a fantastic idea. This is a great gift for kids or even adult children like myself. This is fantastic. Teaches kids about cars, has a really good story, and it tells about all the cars. And again, my favorite thing, this one here.
Ooh, definitely Rolls Royce.
It is a Rolls Royce because you step on the throttle pedal and it costs you money every time. This is fantastic.
I think it's time to update my Christmas list.
Definitely. Go to getoutanddrive.com. Get your copy of What Cars Say.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another great episode of the Get Out and Drive podcast. My name is Jason Old Car Guy Carr.
I am John Custom Car Nerd Meyer.
Today, we've got a little bit of a special going on here, and I'm very excited to welcome our guest to the podcast, Nick Panaritis from Nick's Garage on YouTube. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So one of the reasons why we've gathered here today to witness this, wrong ceremony. We want to give some recognition today, and it all stems from SEMA. You guys all know what SEMA is, correct? Yes. So SEMA allows people around the U.S. to recognize somebody who gives to the car community, and they have officially adopted July the 26th as National Collector Car Appreciation Day. So One of the things that we wanted to do was we wanted to find somebody who we felt was very deserved of this recognition. And with some consultation between John and Joanne and our staff here at the Get Out and Drive podcast, we felt that Nick was the candidate. He was the first guy that came to mind, and we wanted to make sure that we had this opportunity to present this to you, Nick. So congratulations the recognition. Thank you. And so before we get into an actual presentation of sorts, we do have a few questions that we want to ask. John, why don't you lead off with maybe the first question, if you have something for him?
In general, about Mopars, is that kind of where you were headed?
Okay. Whatever you want.
Because I think he knows a little bit about Mopars.
Okay.
And as usual, everybody gravitates to movie cars. And I will be cloning a very crappy movie car very soon myself. Your Challenger, talk to us about your Challenger. I know it's white. I know it's got a green and white Colorado license plate on it.
Well,
what about that one?
Well, it's a movie I've watched back in the mid-70s when it was filmed by Fox Studios, filmed with Barry Newman with a few Dodge Challengers that they used for. It was a guy who just took a car. His job was to deliver cars from one city to another. So his job was to come into town and pick up and switch cars when he drove in one car from when he finished one job, got into that car, happened to be a white Challenger, which is the one I just built a few years ago. Then he wanted to rush it over to San Francisco, and then he made a personal bet. And the way he drove the car, and I've always loved the Challenger, is what made me want to build this car. And it's a very unique car. You know, it's always been a Challenger. Like, my first muscle car was a 70 Challenger. I've always loved the four speeds, because when you have a four speed, you drive it. Okay. And then also I wanted to build it with the original motor 440, as the way they filmed it in the movie, or should I say in the film. Then I said, one day I'm going to build it. So the time came, I found that body in pieces. Of course, you're not going to find these cars turnkey. So now, you know, I've been doing this all my life, building cars, restoring them. And my background is Mopar. I know the Challenger very well. And I said, who can do it better than I? Myself. And here we have it done.
That is fantastic. Now, I know outwardly it shows that it's an RT. Is that an RT car?
Yes, it is. It's a real RT car.
Wow.
From the factory.
That's pretty cool. Go ahead.
Nick, not only is it an RT car, there's something special about that car as well. It's a U-code RT car.
Yes, because the ones they used in the film, people were saying they're six-packs, they're Hemis. No. I watched the film maybe 30 times trying to figure out what engine was in that car. I know it was a four-speed car, white car, black interior, and I know it was written 440 Magnum on the hood. So I don't know that for sure. It had to be a U-code car. And that is why I went with a U-code car. And I try to tell this to a lot of people. It is a U-code car they used in the film, and that is what I wanted, and that's what I found, and that's what I built.
I heard Jason has a U-go car. It's a U-go car.
U-go.
That's not the same. That's not the same thing.
That's another world.
Oh, it's that's close. Totally okay. I'm sorry. It's completely different. Go ahead.
It's close, but for those who don't know and who don't follow Nick's Garage, he is over on YouTube. They're also on Instagram at Nick's Garage Official. And you will also, I want to make a note that the Nick's car, his 70 Challenger, also has a name. Appropriately named. What is it, Nick?
I call it Kowalski. That is the name of the driver in the first film. Don't forget, you guys, they made two films of this Kowalski video. So there was the original one filmed and released by Fox Studios in 1971, and there was a remake in 1997. I went with the original film of back in 1971.
And a neat little side story, too, is back in March of 2019, I had the privilege to meet Nick in person at his garage. And the day that he was there, one of his friends, in collaboration with Nick's wife, was able to get a custom personalized license plate for his Kowalski Challenger. And when I was there, the Sharpie and the license plate was being passed around. So your man, Jason, here has his name on the back of Nick's license plate, which is still on that car. So I think that's a pretty neat thing that, we were able to get together to be a part of Nick's Garage for an episode, because you guys included me in one of your videos. I included you guys in one of mine. And, that helped put me on the map as far as my YouTube career goes. So I'm appreciative of that. And I think that Nick has certainly done a lot for people in the car community, whether it be, minor tune-ups or tire changes, oil, whatever it happens to be, to, full restorations of sorts and motor builds and dynos and all this stuff. And there's a lot of people out there who really want to say and have said thank you to Nick over the years. And I think that's one of the reasons why this recognition goes to Nick this year from us over here at the Get Out and Drive podcast.
Well, definitely, Nick, on the Get Out and Drive podcast, we promote what drives you. And we want to know from young little Nick, what was your spark? What made you care about cars? Like, think back, and what is your oldest memory you think of that you have of cars?
The oldest thing, I remember when I used to go in the kitchen, when my mother used to bake bread or whatever, and she would have flour on the kitchen table. I'd come up there with my Dinky toys or my Corky toys and make like a road full of snow with the baking flour. Then I used to make tracks, make snowstorms, and play with them. And all these different little cars. And that's really persuaded me to stay with this. And I've stayed with this all my life, and I've never got out of it.
Playing with toy cars on the table in the kitchen.
Yes, with flour. Sometimes I park them, throw some snow, like a snowstorm. I would take a popsicle stick, pretend it's a shovel, make some room, drive the car, make him stuck in snow. But, my mother didn't mind. I like taking the whole table and had a good time with it.
That's pretty cool. I mean, we've talked to a lot of people of where they started learning about cars, and I think that's the first person we talked about putting toy cars in flour.
You know, we have snow up here in Canada.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen cars when I was a kid looking out the window, you see cars stuck in the snow, and we have some big snowstorms. Then I looked at that. Then I said, why don't I do my own thing in the kitchen table, you know, with all the flour we had. So I said, you know what? I couldn't drive. I was a kid, very young kid. Took it and did my own thing on the kitchen table.
That's pretty cool.
And then after that, when I became, years later, I met my neighbor, the oily man. That's another story. Then I said, here we are. Now I started walking out. You know, I'm looking at my neighbors playing with the two cars there day after day after day. And I used to go there. I used to see him working on it. You know, he was always oily. He had oil on the floor, oily parts. I used to ask him a lot of questions. He answered them all. And I always wanted to help him. I always got dirty. My mother never minded. You know, she never minded me coming home dirty. But you know what? That passion of mine with cars was there from day one. And still today, I have not changed one bit.
So you were the annoying kid running around as the sponge, ready to get information from someone else.
That is correct.
Did he think that was a good idea in the beginning? Or did you kind of have to work on him before he started giving you information?
Well, before I started asking questions, I used to help him here and there. Like, he was looking for a wrench or a tool, and he would describe me how the tool looks. So I used to go in his toolbox. When he was holding something on the front of the car, I used to go in the back of the garage. And then when you get to know him, then you start asking questions after day, and it was a pleasant. You know, he would answer all the questions. And sometimes he would ask me, why am I doing this? Do you know why I'm doing this? I would ask him, no. Then he would sit there and explain to me every little issue, what makes this thing turn, what makes this work, what's the purpose? So I got fascinated, and I wanted to say how this thing got all together and then started running on its own.
Wow. That feeling, I understand you started learning and everything. You can still kind of feel that feeling and the fun of getting something and putting it together with your own hands that runs.
That's right. You know what fascinated me one day when I never seen his car running, never. And then one day he was putting a few things together. He dropped the car on the floor. You know, he always had these big logs of wood, no engine stands, and put it on the floor. Then I seen him go in the car. And I was sitting beside the fender. Then I see him turn the key. And I see this fan turning. And then it worked on its own. And he gets out of the car. And I'm looking at him and go, wait a minute. All these pieces put together. Now I see this engine or the fan turning on its own. And he just walked out of the car. I said, that's magic. Wow, this was fascinating for me. And then that was where the bug hit me.
So, Nick, we've talked about what drives you. And one of the other questions we like to ask our guests is, you know, what drives youth, Y-O-U-T-H? And we know that you've got a couple of young fellows that work with you there in your shop. So what is it that Nick is offering to youth today to keep this love of cars and this passion of cars moving forward?
Well, when I have these youth coming to my shop, could even be a client, could even be an employee of mine. And when I see they have passion or interest into this, I love teaching them all the history about cars, how they run, how they worked in the past, what drives them, what drives me. And I was telling them, you know, like it's a lot different. Like they grow up with cars, like the dash is telling them what's wrong. On the old cars, you got to learn. You got to drive them. You know, it's not like you get in a car today and it drives you. No. It's you. You have to be the one who drives them. And some of these guys, these young guys, like that, you know, and I like to teach them. So when they ask questions, I answer all of them. No matter how young, how many they are, I do my best and I show them around. But then and a lot of these people, or should I say these youth, youngsters, they have a lot of passion when they come into my garage and they freak out what's going on with all these bright colors, lots of chrome, all different cars, all classics. And then they get fascinated. And then when I see them show interest, I like to help them as much as I can.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing because we've always said it before, no matter who we talk to, no matter what guests we have on the show, or you're sitting at a car show, or you're talking to a bunch of buddies, is that if we're not telling the stories and we're not showing that passion ourselves and teaching and learning and speaking to these young people, this passion will die and it'll never get passed on to further generations. And the cars like you see behind me today, those will be gone. And people will just stop talking about them. And they're just going to be asking questions like, where's the next plug-in for my hybrid? Or where's the next whatever, you know? And those aren't interesting stories to me. I want to know, just like you said, what makes this thing tick? I don't need to plug in a computer to figure it out. I want to learn, you know, where that noise is coming from, where that hiss or that tick or this whatever. And, you know, if anybody here, again, if you're not watching Nick's Garage on YouTube, you got to go over and watch it, because every episode that I watch, I learn something, even if it's just a small little detail. Nick knows the exact size bolts that should be on a 440 or a 383 engine or whatever, you know, that type of information. I don't know. I go to the bolts bin and whatever fits is what it's getting. But, you know, sometimes when you're doing these nuts and bolts, you got to know the details. And I think that up here for Nick is where those details are. I bet you he hasn't looked up a torque spec in 30 years.
You know, when I do, when we make a video, we put it on the air. People, I read as many comments as I can when I can. And, you know, some people tell me, how do you torque down anything with your hand without using a torque wrench? Well, it's easy enough. There's so many years, you know, when a bolt is going to break, or you take a valve cover screw and someone takes a half inch ratchet. This is what I tell a lot of the youngsters. The weight of the ratchet makes a difference. For example, you take a half inch drive ratchet with a 7/16 socket, and just the weight of the ratchet will break that quarter inch bolt. So I tell the guys, quarter inch bolt, use a quarter inch ratchet. And you know, you don't have to tighten like crazy, or some people like to keep tightening gaskets. Like one thing I try to teach these new guys, the old days, we didn't use any silicone in the old days. They are just gaskets. The gaskets were the seal. Or in some cases like today, you put silicone only in corners where two gaskets meet. There could be a gap there. Just put a little bit of silicone in the corner, not around the whole gasket. The gasket makes the seal. So I teach them this thing. And, you know, I always want to teach them that old school, you learn on your own. You just think it's like these old cars. It's an old car. You just need one simple toolbox, one shop manual, not crazy tools, no computers, no education. You don't need to internet to tell you how to do something, and you work on your own and you learn. Don't forget, and all these cars were human design, every one of them. That's why all these cars have character. They're all different. American Motors, Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Mopar, Ford. They're all beautiful. They're all beautiful. And you know what? You know, some people say, no good this, no good that. It doesn't matter. They're all American made. There's American culture, and they're all beautiful cars. They're human design. I love chrome. They have chrome on all the cars, and they all have character. And the most important thing is they're still around. Let's save them, keep them for the future generation to come.
Wow. We always love hearing, especially from someone who's like a born-bred mechanic. Talk to us about some crazy roadside breakdown stories. Like you found a nail and a piece of wire and some other garbage to get your car home. Have you done that on the side of the road?
No, I'll tell you what I did once at the back of the airport. We had my friend had a 69 Mustang.
Yeah.
I had a 70 Challenger, and his car wouldn't start. So we had no booster cables. We had no power pack. We're out in the middle of nowhere. It's 1:30 in the morning. So what I did is, I took my car, and we touched the two bumpers together to make a ground. Then we had no booster cables, of course, and I found a couple of hangers, coat hangers. So I wrapped them together, and I used it as a positive cable. Okay, we brought the cars very close together, and luckily, they were like 2.5 feet apart. I wrapped up the two coat hangers. I made a contact with the two positives on both batteries. My friend was cranking over the Mustang. We got it started, and the coat hangers got pretty hot. But thank God the car started right away. We got going. Now, how many people would have just left the car there? But, you know, we have to think of this, you know, like sometimes you got to use your brain. It's old school, simple stuff. And you got to work with what you have. You know, being out in the back of the airport, 1:30 in the morning, we had no contacts for a towing company or push the car. And it was an automatic car. You can't push it to bump start it with the clutch. So what we did is looked around what we had and worked with what we had. And it worked.
You got to do what you got to do to get somewhere. I don't like grease. I'm more of a body guy. And okay. I see all these cars that get restored, and I'm taking these cars apart that may have had one or two owners, and I see some craziness holding the valve cover together, or I see some sort of a nail and a spring from an old ballpoint pen holding the carburetor linkage and things together. And I have to remember to myself, well, what idiot did this? And you have to remember, this is the guy that was angry in the morning and the car wouldn't start, or the spring came off and he figured out whatever he had sitting on the floor of the car or in his house to get him to work. Because before these were classic cars and museum pieces, they were transportation. No one cared. In 1970, a 1969 car wasn't a classic. It was a used car. And nobody understands, not very many people understand that when they're doing restorations now. They always say, well, what idiot did this? The person who did whatever it took to get this car to work, to get them to make money.
That is correct, 100%, because I've taken apart a lot of cars, and I've seen a lot of homemade stuff, or like farmers or whatever equipment they have, just to get it going. Okay, maybe they never updated it. Maybe the parts were not available. But you know what? You can't blame them. And I'm used to taking apart cars and finding these items that don't belong on cars. But then again, you know what? They got them going and they did their job.
I mean, I attribute all that kind of stuff, and I know Jason's seen it, you know, the Russian engines and everything in a 57 Chevrolet in Cuba.
That's right. That's right. You know, all the cars in Cuba never die. No matter what they do, they'll get an engine. No matter what make is it's made from, they'll make it fit. Here in America, we have plentiful supplies of what we need. But you got to give credit to all the Cubans. They take any car. And if they can't find an American V8, they'll just take any Volkswagen motor, Mercedes motor, or any diesel engine and make it work. But then after all, when you're driving down the street, that's an all-American classic driving down the street. That's for sure.
So I want to go back to your story about the, you know, how your innovative use of a coat hanger to boost a car. We're all guys here. We're all adults. We're grown up. I want to know the story of why you were out to the airport back then.
And just to let you know, today you cannot do this. Today's bumpers are all rubber. But anyway, back in the day, we used to go and racing, street racing. Street racing was not in the streets, in public streets. Street racing for us was in the back of the airport, industrial area, no lights, no buildings, no nothing. One long street with a dead end where it ends up in the airport. And we used to go there and, you know, practice different tires, or maybe if we did something new on the car, we wanted to see if it improved performance. And that's why we went there. And I went there with my friend with the Mustang. He wanted to try something. I wanted to try my new car meter. And then we made a few passes. Then we parked. Then we talked about it. Then when the time was to leave, that's when we found out that that Mustang didn't want to start. But thank God we both had chrome bumpers. We got it going.
There you go.
Look, I know everyone wants to get out and drive, but it's been difficult with the price of gas lately. But get out and drive doesn't have to mean physically driving your ride.
Get out and drive means sharing your auto repair skills with the next generation. Hashtag, what drives youth?
Get out and drive means watching a classic road trip movie or something with a cool chase scene.
Get out and drive means hosting a car show or a cruise.
Get out and drive means working on that project car to get it ready to get out and drive.
Get out and drive means get those toy cars, Hot Wheels, remote control cars, and die casts, and burn up the pavement.
Get out and drive means supporting organizations that help keep the automotive industry and hobby alive.
What does get out and drive mean to you?
Let us know by leaving a message on our listener hotline. Just go to getoutanddrive.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, and click the listener hotline
button. John, it's great to have some awesome Drive Day ambassadors joining our team all the way up and down the East Coast. You know, we're heading inland. We're trying to make our way west. So if your name is not on this list and you want to be a Drive Day ambassador and you're out there somewhere in the Midwest or the Rockies or on the coast, let us know, because we want to get some stickers and some stuff out to you to help us get the word out of National Get Out and Drive Day.
Well, I know Mike Narks has been on Get Out and Drive. And he is on IG. It's Narcoleptic Customs. And some people may know about the Narcs cart, which I've personally ridden in, and it's scary. Jason, you'd probably like that, especially because it is a Panther platform, at least what's left of it.
Absolutely. And Mike has also been on the Car Guy and Six Fan Show, and we're proud to have that. He's also been a guest host over there. So I'm excited to have Mike be a part of the Drive Day ambassadors, as well as Ryan Hayward from Everything is Broken Garage. Ryan is in Newfoundland, Canada. You can't get much more East Coast than that. He's here to help us get the word out of National Get Out and Drive Day.
And most recently interviewed by the Get Out and Drive podcast is Kyle Lockrow. And he is Kyle_Lockrow5590 on IG. And you can see him also at KyleLockrow.com.
You can also follow Giuseppe's Garage on IG at Giuseppe, GIUSEPPES, Garage. Make sure you head on over there and follow them because they are an ambassador as well.
And one guy with a killer ride, unbelievable crew cab square body, Brett Sullivan. He is part of the C10 Club of Illinois and a promoter of the Southern Illinois Truck Showdown. On IG, you can find Southern Illinois Truck Showdown and Roddy Merritt, the Hanger Hangover Show. His IG is at Minty Culture on Instagram.
And Roddy comes to us all the way from Mississippi.
You talk about having kids and people and younger generations and stuff in your garage and people that you help. Is there someone specific or a group of people that you're trying to pass your knowledge down to?
I'm trying to pass it to all my viewers, to all my clients, even parents that come in with their kids. They really surprise me sometimes. They come in and they tell me, my kid watches you like crazy on YouTube. And I look at the kid, he's like 10 years old. So I said, You know what? And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I've got a lot of diecasts here and I give it to the kids. I see they have the passion for cars. So I give them that so they can keep the same passion as they grow up. And then I've always told the parents, if I'm still alive, I'm still here. Bring him here anytime you wish. I'll show them what comes in. We have different cars here every day. Or if I have an edge on the dyno, we have headphones for the kids. Watch what happens. Look what goes on. Old school. I love it. I show them that. If they have a passion for that, I have the passion to show them.
And they're going to grow up and they're going to remember your situation. They're going to remember your words and your passion. And that's incredible. So thank you very much for doing that.
No, I appreciate it. And it's like a lot of my customers, they say, you know what, Nick, because of you, you make the owner of a muscle car affordable. I don't charge crazy prices. They come here. We fix a lot of things. There's a lot of things there's a lot of things on the market that people, or should I say, people spend a lot of money on cars for nothing. You know, I've always given them facts. You know, what came from the factory with the car is always good in many cases. But sometimes they go their own way. They try to do their own thing. But I try to tell them, go old school, keep it simple, save your money, and it's work. If something's not working, because something's not right. And if I can help them bring the car here, I'll do my best and help them out. And not only that, I like to describe what went wrong and how we fix it. And that's one of my favorite things to do. Is describing and educating them at the same time.
So you see your shop more as a shop to keep cars on the road and vintage cars on the road, not necessarily a numbers restoration shop.
No, I keep all the cars on the road. Any car. You know, I keep them all. They're classics, they're old, they're new, whatever it is. My job is to keep them going. But what I love about my shop most is when I have a lot of classics in here with a lot of chrome and all these muscle cars that came up with all these bright colors. It makes my shop look like a museum. And with all the flags hanging on top of the roof or on the ceiling that come from around the world, which I just wanted to say another thing before I forget, I have never realized, being on YouTube now for over 5 years, I've realized that there's an American muscle cars practically in every country in the world. You got to see my emails. You got to see the emails I get from people with pictures of the cars. Colombia, Argentina, UK, Australia, New Zealand, Japan. I just freak out. It's an American culture, but to me, it's a global thing right now. That's why we call my shop a global garage. And that's why I put up all these flags. And all these flags are from our viewers. And all these flags that come here are people that have the drive to go. And that's why they send me their flags.
Along the lines of what you're saying, I see that I believe that Japanese...
Yes.
Lowrider culture is doing lowrider culture better than California Latino lowrider culture.
Wow.
I see that's a difficult thing to say, but it's amazing. And I see it happening. And I see what I would think without putting pressure on anyone. I see that they're doing incredible things in Japan that I would think would happen in the heart of the lowrider community in California. But it's not. And I get kind of shell shock when I find out that it's in Japan. Have you witnessed that?
Not really. But I'm going to tell you what I witnessed. Sometimes you got a man, husband, and wife in my shop. And then the husband comes in, talks about his car to get fixed up. Maybe it's been storage or a garage for 10 years. And then this is the magic moment. This is the magic moment. And then he's talking to me. And then the wife says, "What drives you?" I'm seeing Nicker. I see all these American muscle cars. And now I got the urge to do it. Now I inspire them to get off their feet, get into the shop and their garage, wherever the car is that's been sitting around for many years, and get going and working on them and enjoy and drive them. They're not made to sit in a garage. And that's what I say to them. What drives you is to get them going.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And we really push because we hate garage furniture. That's what I call the cars that are just sitting there, museum pieces. Get out and drive. Take your muscle car and hammer it. Have fun with it. Don't be silly, but do what its intended purpose is. It's get out and drive and use your muscle car. There's no greater feeling than taking a $1 million muscle car and just flogging the heck out of it. It's a crazy feeling.
Just take it out and take it for a drive and enjoy.
Yeah.
And then again, when you take it out, you know what? I'm going to tell you another thing. When you take it out and take it for a drive, you might meet some car meets, car shows, events, charities. And then again, you create new friendship with a lot of people. Then you come into a gang in a parking lot. And then you talk about different cars. Then you talk about the history, what drives them and all that. And that's what makes this car culture or American culture unique. And it's very special. And you know what? A lot of people, not only in America, a lot of people around the world do that. And, you know, there's a lot of car clubs and people enjoy this. No matter what make it is, what classic, what year, doesn't matter. Even though it's a six-cylinder, just get out there and drive it.
Nick, you recently got back from a little bit of a road trip down to Pennsylvania, because this is something that I know you've been itching to get to for the last couple of years. And obviously, you know, for obvious reasons, we couldn't, but you finally got down to Carlisle, Pennsylvania for the Mopar show. Tell us about your experience and maybe the biggest thing that you took away from that show this year.
Well, I couldn't go there for 2 years because the border between US and Canada was closed because of the pandemic we were going through. And then I also missed the 50th year of the 1970 cars. Well, I missed that too. But then I always told my viewers reading all my comments saying that, "Nick, we want to see you in your car." And I told them when the board opens up, the next show for Carlisle, I will be there. And I did my best, got there. Then we got there on a Thursday afternoon. They were telling me you have to put your display for Thursday night to be ready for Friday morning. And what really fascinated me is we didn't even have a chance to put our display up. Like people coming in, "Hey, Nick, hey, Nick, hey, Nick, hey, Nick." They all wanted to help. They were asking questions. And then they were telling me that, you know, the car looks much more beautiful than it is shown on video. I let them touch it. I let them sit in it. I let them take pictures. And you know what? It was great. And I met a lot of viewers that, you know, when you make comments, you never see them. They see you and they talk to you as if they know you, because, you know, after so many years on YouTube and answering their comments, it's strange. And I'm looking at them and I go, yeah, I remember you. I remember this comment. And it brought back a lot of history. And you know what? That's what it's all about, you guys. Cars make friendship, let me tell you.
Absolutely. I would agree with that 100%.
Are a lot of your viewers surprised that you go through the comments and you can remember them?
You know what? When I answer the phone in my shop, which I did a few today, which for a while, they freak out. Yes, they get surprised when I answer the phone or when I answer the emails. Or sometimes when they send me an email and there's a phone number, I prefer to call them in person than send them an email. I'm not a computer whiz, but I call them up and they're very surprised. And when I answer the phone in the shop, they think a secretary or somebody else is going to answer the phone, which I usually do like most of the time, 95%. And they're always surprised. Sometimes when they come visitors in the shop, they're scared to walk in. They go, "Maybe we're disturbing Nick." I always welcome them in. I make everybody feel at home. I talk to, you know, like I get involved in everything. Sometimes I don't have any time to myself. But you know what? It's getting harder for me to answer comments as we go along, because there's just more and more coming up every year. So, but I never say no. I still love it. And that's what drives me.
You can't get much better than that, John, when you have a guest who keeps throwing our tagline at us. You know, usually we have to pry that out of the guest. Nick, you're like, you just keep doing it. I'm not condemning you for doing it by no means.
No.
It up. It's great. I was just going to say, without further ado, I want to get to this little bit of a presentation of this recognition, because I think it's something that's very important I feel very privileged to be able to do this because SEMA is such a big entity in the collector car world. And I believe truly that Nick's Garage is as well.
Every July, the Get Out and Drive podcast team celebrates Collector Car Appreciation Day. Here's a little background about that special day. For more than 100 years, the automobile has played a significant role in nearly every culture. It has been represented in everything from music and fashion to cinema and photography. Car collecting is an important part of preserving the technological achievements and cultural heritage around the world. To celebrate the industry and the hobby, the Specialty Equipment Marketing Association, SEMA, as everybody knows that it is, announced July 8, 2022 as Collector Car Appreciation Day. This day marks the 13th commemoration of what has become an annual event to celebrate and raise awareness of the vital role automotive restoration and collection plays in our society. Each year, the Get Out and Drive podcast awards an official copy of the United States Senate resolution acknowledging Collector Car Appreciation Day to someone in the automotive industry or hobby that goes above and beyond to make sure those collector cars and their historical significance are preserved for future generations. The Get Out and Drive podcast has chosen Nick Panaritis as the 2022 recipient. Since a very young age, Nick has embraced his passion for the car hobby. From learning to turn wrenches in a back alley to racing cars on the weekends with his brothers and friends, Nick has taken his dedication to the next level. Having worked in many facets of the automotive industry over the years, Nick offers his specialty at Indy Auto in Laval, Quebec. From basic automotive service to engine building, full restoration, and dyno tuning, Indy Auto has it all with Nick at the helm. As a wealth of knowledge on most domestic vehicles, specifically muscle cars, Nick's heart belongs to all things Mopar, including his very own 1970 Dodge Challenger RT, inspired by the movie Vanishing Point. Just as Richard Petty's the king of NASCAR, Nick Panaritis could undoubtedly be considered the king of Mopars. His experience and passion is shown through the YouTube channel Nick's Garage. In every video, Nick's personality shines through as he enlightens viewers with his knowledge, preservation skills, and passion for cars. Everyone is welcomed at Nick's Garage with a smile, handshake, and likely a cup of coffee. In a short time, you will certainly become part of the family. It is for these reasons that on July 8th, 2022, the Get Out and Dive podcast team hereby recognizes Nick Panaritis as a valued contributor to the collector car industry by presenting this official U.S. Senate resolution in acknowledgement of Collector Car Appreciation Day 2022.
Wow. Thank you.
Nick, here is your resolution.
Okay. In the Senate of the United States, you know, a lot of people tell me, you know, you may be Canadian, but growing up with these American cars, they call me American also. This is very, this is overwhelming, you guys. I want to thank you very much. This is very special.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you very much for wanting to chat with us for a bit and getting behind, getting a little insight on who you are.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what to say. I could just say thank you to everybody that keeps this hobby alive, keeps these restoration shops keep going, and the manufacturers that make reproduction of these parts to make this hobby still keep going on. And hopefully for the new generation growing up that gets involved and have the same passion like we do, and keep this old hobby alive forever. Matter of fact, you know, not only in America, but the whole world. And, you know, I know I'll be long gone, and these cars are going to outlive me, and I hope they do. And I hope everybody enjoys them. And there's nothing more special than this. Nothing.
Well, fantastic. Thank you very much, Nick.
And thanks for being so accommodating.
Jason, you like cruising around the internet, just searching for projects that you don't need. You do that?
I do. It's probably my second job.
It is your second job. I know I get smacked all the time because I've got plenty of projects, and I secretly still look for things other than the things that are in my driveway. What's wrong with us?
I don't know. It's definitely a sickness, but you know, one of my favorite places to visit is racingjunk.com.
I go there a lot. I probably shouldn't, but I go there a lot. It's like a little secret hideout. I get really good deals there. Yeah, I'm sorry I'm saying this on the podcast. I'm going to let out the secret, but I'm getting much better deals there than I am on a lot of other websites.
Yeah, and not only can you buy and get good deals, but you can also sell your own junk and put money right in your pocket.
Yeah, that's right. They don't charge any transaction fees. Just 100% of what I make through my ad, I keep.
Absolutely. So if your wife is at you to clean out your garage for spring, you can post all your junk on racingjunk.com.
Wow. Well, I'm gonna stop talking now. I'm going to head out to the garage, and I'll probably be back in a little bit, but I'm going to head out and clean up some stuff. I know I've got a ton of stuff to sell.
Start making money today.
Get out in racingjunk.com. Sell your stuff. Get money. Stick it in your pocket. You know, Jason, we sure get to talk a lot.
Yes, and some of us more than others.
Who, me?
I'm not pointing any fingers.
Yes, you are. But we want to hear from our listeners. Just go to our website, getoutanddrive.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, and click the listener hotline button. We want to hear from you. Cool stories, breakdown stories.
Questions, comments.
Hate mail.
Even hate mail?
Even hate mail. You got a car show in your area? Let us know.
Tell us an interesting story.
Let us know what you like to get out and drive. You know, Jason, I know you're new to the Get Out and Drive podcast. Don't you have something else on YouTube, like every Thursday?
Yeah, we have a podcast-style live stream that happens on YouTube called the Car Guy and Six Fan Show. It's myself and Grant Tommy, who goes by Straight Six Fan on YouTube. And we talk a lot about cars, only it's live. If you're not getting enough on the Get Out and Drive podcast, you can head over to the Car Guy and Six Fan Show every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock Central. It's a collaborative effort between myself and Straight Six Fan. So it alternates from my YouTube channel to his every Thursday night.
I've been there. It's cool. That's where all the cool guys hang out.
It sure is, and we look forward to seeing you again.
Are you looking for more action-packed car content? Head over to YouTube for the Car Guy and Six Fan Show on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Find a link in the show notes and let them know you heard about it from the Get Out and Drive podcast. Speed over to our friends at racingjunk.com and sign up for a Pro Club membership. Use the code GETOUT to receive a discount when you sign up for a Pro Club membership. Cruise on over to our website, getoutanddrive.com, for all the info you never wanted to know about our podcast. Hit us up on our listener hotline, be the first to know what's happening, get industry news, and grab your Get Out and Drive merch. Connect with us on social media. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Follow us on Twitter at Get Out and Drive Pod.
What drives you?